This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
North of $45 million, honestly, like it sounds surprising and people are laughing and talking about it, but I mean, like, we understand that the salary cap is going to continue to go up. And in 5 years, I would imagine all quarterbacks who are worth a damn are making $45 million, right?
Airing every day from noon to three.
$45 million sounds crazy now, but in 3 years from now, you'll be like, oh, okay, that's kind of the going rate.
As David Lindley once said, you've got to pay to man.
Who's David Lindley?
He's a reggae kind of musician.
I would have gone with Teddy KGB. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Pay the man.
Yeah, but Teddy KGB
Everybody's
is iconic.
Everybody's got to pay the man. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
I'm 1340 WKG.
Like I said about Jerry, Jerry's getting old. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
Before you leave this world. You got to pay the man.
Who sings that?
David Lindley.
Let's keep it that way.
How creative.
Got him!
How creative.
Got him!
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Hour two. Kicking off in the Fan Run Studios, hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
A little TV talk for you.
Okay.
What did you think about the series from Seth MacFarlane, known for his Family Guy, some of the cartoons he has?
I think he doesn't match my type of humor.
Really? That's disappointing. Yeah. What about Ted? Were you a fan of Ted or Ted 2?
I don't know if I ever watched Ted 2, actually. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I can't remember.
It wasn't as good. First head was pretty good. Did you like the first one?
I liked the first one all right, but I was also like 19 or 20 when it came out, so I don't know if I'd still like it.
It's not that old, is it?
It's like 2008 or 9, ain't it?
No.
2009, the first head?
No.
It ain't older than 2010, I'll tell you that much. I'll bet my life it's not older than 2010.
2012, man.
The first head?
Yes. I was about to say, it is not that old.
Am I dead now?
2012.
I bet my life.
You did. You sure did. No, 2012, man.
Really?
Yeah. Punishment. What's his punishment, Cam?
Well, still 10 years old. I guess I wouldn't be 19. I guess I'd be, 22?
Okay. Yeah.
Either way.
But apparently, Ted is going to have its own TV series. Is in the developments at Peacock, the streaming service. And
I'm
apparently,
sure Seth MacFarlane's still going
to
voice Ted, but
yep,
I'd imagine
I'd
imagine Mark Wahlberg's not going to be around?
I would say not, right? I mean, there's no really reports of Wahlberg. I haven't really seen anything, but like, I don't know. I don't imagine him doing TV, right? Has he ever, when's the last time he's been like in a TV series or show or anything like that? Has he ever done TV?
Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean,
I can't think of any.
Maybe he's like, maybe he shows up in Wahlburgers every now and then, like about the family restaurant. There was that Wahlberg show with Donnie. Maybe Mark showed up in that a couple times.
Hmm. What do you think, though? You think this is going to hold up? I can't believe you're not a Seth MacFarlane fan. Never watched Family Guy? Never got a kick out of Family Guy? A little goofy, but sometimes pretty funny.
I've watched a couple episodes before, but it didn't do much for me.
Is it because it's cartoons?
No, I like South Park.
How can you like South Park but not Family Guy?
Because South Park is superior to Family Guy.
Like, what's wrong with Family Guy? Just curious. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts.
The cutaways, random funny. Cutaways.
They're funny. It's
just lazy comedy. Like, let's make a reference, and then we'll make that doesn't really fit, and then we'll do a cutaway to make it try to be funny. Something that doesn't really have anything to do with the show. Here's a random cutaway. Hey, guys, look.
But South Park's so much more built together, put together.
I think everyone would agree with that. Yes, South Park is kind of the go-to authority for pop culture. takes on pop culture.
Family Guy does it too, man. They make a lot of good references. Also,
there's a difference between references and commentary. South Park is responsible for commentary and their satire. They get the shows done, you know, 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's a news story, and then in 24 hours they can have it on TV. I think you're wrong here on this take, but I don't want to argue with you. I don't want you to start screaming at me.
Save it for the boxing.
Yeah, I don't want you to start screaming at me for no reason. What are we talking about here, John? Family Guy's so much better than South Park.
I think a lot of people would agree with me on that one.
I don't think they would.
I'll do a vote. I'll do a vote on my Twitter account.
I mean, go ahead. I'll put one up, too. That way I'll actually get
some votes. Actually, yeah, put it up.
I'll put it that way I'll actually get some votes.
Ha, 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 ha. Man, I'll tell you what. 2 months can't get here fast enough. What did we say? August 13th?
August 13th. Friday the 13th. Guess who's playing Jason?
Kind of look like Jason.
I do, actually. The bald head. Especially in you got me there. That is true.
Moving on. Your boy, here we go. Let's all round of applause. Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year. Wow. Crazy. Awesome. Man. What is it? That's the third time in 4 years. Whoa. Good job, Rudy Gobert. Wow. Really crazy. How about it? Come on, John. Hype your boy up. You're talking about him all day yesterday. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
What do you want me to say about him?
He's the fourth player to win the award at least three times.
He is the best.
Dikembe Mutombo, Ben Wallace, and Dwight Howard. Wow. Great company.
Name those names again.
Mutombo, Ben Wallace, Dwight Howard.
So, yeah, it is pretty good company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Just hop him up.
Tell me how good he is. You're tweeting at me yesterday.
I said everything I needed to say about Rudy Gobert. I hope you have had some time to reflect.
Cam, take
back your take that he's not a good basketball player.
Am I wrong in saying this? But isn't the NBA awards a little skewed when you have, D. Rose getting a first place vote, right?
That was from the fans.
Was that from the fans? Did we ever confirm that?
We confirmed that was from the fans. Plays in New York.
Didn't you tell me also earlier this week, Tom Thibodeau winning Coach of the Year? Doesn't really mean anything. Doesn't really matter.
I didn't save him in the first round of playoffs, but I said the Coach of the Year award in every sport is kind of skewed. It's more like how much did you exceed expectations, not necessarily who the best coach is. I think we have that conversation every time Nick Saban doesn't win Coach of the Year. I do think the Coach of the Year award, again, should be renamed to just, hey, good job. Good job, coach. Your team wasn't supposed to be good, but they were pretty good. That's it.
Okay.
You going to tell me MVP doesn't matter?
We've also made the case like Russell Westbrook's, stat stuffing that 1 year when Kawhi Leonard was also tearing it up and there was other guys tearing it up.
Yes,
that
1 year for sure. I agree, but it was more so, it's happened a couple years in the NBA in terms of the narrative and things, in terms of, Kevin Durant left Russell Westbrook.
Didn't you also say the same thing when Julius Randle won, most improved player?
It's one of those things where you were not very good and then you became good. But, again, I think it's just much like Coach of the Year. We didn't have high expectations for you and then you got good. I think superstars can sometimes be most improved as well. I thought Giannis should have won most improved when he won MVP. What was that to do? It's you don't think Rudy Gobert's good at defense now? Is that what you're going to tell me? Like, he's not the best defensive player?
I never said that. I literally never said that.
I know, but I'm asking what the implication is because you're acting like awards don't matter. Like, they can be
–
go to the wrong guy. So I'm asking if you really don't think he's the best defensive player in the
Jokic
league.
Jokic's MVP, by the way. I really want to talk about Jokic, and he looked like a fool last night. Looked like LeBron out there crying left and right. Didn't look like an MVP to me. Just saying.
Looked like Luka.
Not dropping 40 points and 12 assists.
Complaining to the officials and complaining about everything. Looks a lot like Luka to me.
You don't think
it might be like a European bias thing, just like comparing him to a white guy, but I don't think anybody really complains more in the NBA than Luka does. Jokic put on a good effort last night, though. He tried to match him.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty crybaby.
He almost matched what Luka does.
Yeah. Just have to find a way to bring Luka back into it.
He's got the losing down, Pat. They're down 0-2, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah. Halfway there.
Not very athletic either. He got that going for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Smooth, though. Still finds a way to score 40 points. Trae Young dropped 40 points and double-digit assists in a playoff game yet?
Did Jokic drop 40 last night?
I was talking about Luka.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Jokic.
Trae Young ever do that?
Nobody won a series.
He passes the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And he still gets double digit assists.
He passes the ball to his teammates. He,
right.
He gets everyone.
And Luka doesn't.
He lets everyone. Luka doesn't. He lets everyone get involved.
He's only assisting or scoring on 31 of the, what, 37
field goals. Not assisting
and
then he wins in the second round.
You quit thinking of just assists and blocks as like, wow, that means offense is passing the ball. And, oh, wow, that means defense. You got blocks. It's not 1984 anymore, Draven. We got better statistics out here now.
Give me the stats.
I mean, I'm looking up usage rate. I'll give you the usage rate. Go ahead. Next headline, please.
Going to the NFL,
mm-hmm.
Dallas Cowboys quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Dakota Rain Prescott.
Is Who? Late.
Dakota.
That's what Dak is short for?
Yeah, it is. Dak is leaving Adidas and signing a 5-year agreement, John, with the Jordan brand. How about it? Prescott will be the only Jordan brand quarterback, the only Cowboys player, and the highest paid NFL player on the Jordan brand roster.
Does it say how much?
Does not. No details of that. I don't think it's like official. That was just kind of some of the it says per sources close to the situation. So I don't think it's become an official thing. But yeah, it looks like it is on the obviously on the up and coming. So
are you worried?
About what?
Like him becoming too much of a star and like maybe not worrying about football as much and all this money and just kind of.
He's talking about Jordan. What are we talking about? It's not like he's making a movie called Space Jam.
He's got
like,
new endorsement stuff. New endorsement deals as well, doesn't
he? He's always had endorsements, man.
He's
starting quarterback at the Dallas Cowboys. You not seen Chunky Soup?
Well, I know, but like I was hoping.
Not seen Sleep Number?
Well,
yes. Have you seen those commercials?
I have, and I haven't seen very many playoffs.
By the way, endorsements. Oh, the attention. He's literally the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, bro. Literally everything he does is amplified.
I was just wondering if you were worried about him, you know. My thought process here is like, okay, you're doing the same things you used to be doing that kind of distracted you and kept you from winning. So, like, I was hoping that when I gave you how many millions of dollars? 200 and 250, what is it? How many millions of dollars did the Cowboys give him?
Four years, $160 million.
I would like hope, if I was a Cowboys fan or if I was Jerry Jones, like, I hope that the $160 million we gave you would kind of keep your attention on just actually like playing football and trying to win.
What the hell
for
are you
us.
Talking
Instead
about?
Of
he had a
chasing checks. He's chasing checks.
He had a deal with Adidas and he just shifted over to Jordan. It probably is a little bit more money, but what the hell's the big deal? Everybody has a brand, John.
All these endorsements made sense when he was a fourth round pick needing the money. Like I gave him a pass for that, but now he's got $160
million. He's not focusing on practice. He's over there doing contract negotiations.
Exactly. Like, are you worried about him not being like kind of just a little? I don't want to say Hollywood because again he's in Dallas and it's not necessarily Hollywood, but like, you know, just. I would want my quarterback in the lab worried about football. Like,
what are you talking about? He's been at minicamp. He's been doing everything.
Have you seen Tom Brady doing these negotiations like around the season?
Oh, wow. The one example where Brady literally has never.
I mean,
never,
you said there was
the
no other Jordan
Brady's
QBs.
Done is a watch.
Maybe there's a reason for that.
No other Jordan QBs? Huh. So this is like the only one that kind of wants to be. Seems like he wants to be a star more than he wants to be a star quarterback or represent the star on his helmet. Interesting.
Wow.
And again, I gave him a pass for it whenever
funny,
he was a fourth-round pick or third round. Was he fourth round or third round?
Fourth.
Fourth round. Needing to make some money, you know, not getting paid a lot of money, a little disrespectful. So, like, you know what? Get that Sleep Number money, buddy. Get that Chunky Soup money. Hey, you brought your brothers in there, too. Good for you.
But, like,
get the family
you're going to say no to these opportunities? Why would you not
make
a little
the brand that got
or do
me
a
there.
Jordan brand? He should wear Jordan shoes instead of Adidas. That's the only difference that's going to be going on this year.
Yeah, how much uglier are the Jordan basketball cleats than any other type
uglier.
Of basketball cleats?
I would agree with that one, Cam. I'd be like Adidas. Better,
out.
That's
sell
his
out.
Personal choice.
I would just simply say, like, no, thank you. I just want to focus on winning. I gotta win. Talk to my agent. I can't do this.
Then if that was the case, everybody would just take pay cuts and not get paid anything.
Well, Tom Brady did do that, too.
Well, your boy Ryan Tannehill didn't do that. He got his contract.
He could have got more money.
He got his contract, though. He got paid.
He could have got more money, though.
He could have got less money, too, at the same time if he was more worried about the team.
He took 27. He could have got 34, 35.
Yeah, they could have took 25, 24.
I mean, he took enough to get every free agent we need to get. We've gotten everyone we've went after. We've gotten it. Money ain't been an issue for us. Don't talk about my quarterback. Ain't been no price cuts. Ain't been no budget cuts around here. Okay, my quarterback did what's best for the team. Tom Brady, good point by you. He took pay cuts over his career.
It's like the only quarterback to ever pretty much do that.
And Ryan Tannehill.
Literally.
And Ryan Tannehill.
He never took a pay cut.
Yeah.
When?
Just when he negotiated his contract, could have got more money. Said no, save some. And then again, went and restructure me. Go ahead.
If anything, he still got overpaid.
I don't know.
He only played half a season with him that year, by the way.
Only played half. Who played half a season?
Didn't he only play half a season? Then got his contract this past year. Correct? Yeah. Am I wrong in that?
I was asking what you're talking about. What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying, like, he could have got paid a lot less. Only saw him half a season. They could have franchise tagged him.
I don't understand what you're saying.
He could have took a lot less money, is what I'm saying. Like, he could have negotiated, like, 27. Did you say, is that what you said he made?
I just ain't seen my guy. He ain't been out in Nashville.
Well, he played half a year for Tennessee. Like,
doing all these extra deals. He's focused on winning. Focused on winning. That's it. I'm not just making it about, you know, Dak. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, you are, man.
When Russell, no,
that's fine. No. I see what you're doing.
When Russell Wilson,
you're just trying to put, when Russell Wilson, fuel, trying to put coal in the fire, my friend. That's what you're trying to do. You're just trying to fire me up right now.
When Russell Wilson got more focused on being Sierra's husband than winning games, like the Seahawks all of a sudden quit winning. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, you're wrong. They just won 12 games and just won the division. What the hell are you talking about?
How many playoff games to win? How many Super Bowls has he won since he got with Sierra? How many Super Bowls has he been to, Cam, since he got with Sierra? Any? Interesting.
Yeah, be committed.
When your quarterback.
So you're really telling me if you're a starting quarterback of the NFL, you're gonna pass up a chance with Sierra instead of Ryan Tannehill's homely looking wife?
Lauren's a very attractive woman. Lauren's a very attractive
woman. I've seen a lot better. That's all I gotta say. I've seen a lot damn better. Seen Dak Prescott's girl?
No.
Exactly.
Is her name Dakota too?
Did she help doctor him after he got stumped out in Panama City? Like, was it like one of those love stories, like Pearl Harbor, the Pearl Harbor movie? She helped doctor him back. Dak, when the cuts heal, we'll go on a date. Just get up. Get up and walk for us. Get up.
Like Simba talking.
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. You asked for those numbers about, you know, Luka not passing. I have some of them if you want them. Do you want them or no?
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm just looking at like a usage rate. I mean,
yeah.
39.1 usage rate. That's the highest in the playoffs of anybody, you know, besides the three highest ones are Tremont Waters, DeMarcus Cousins, and Harry Giles. I don't think you want to be in that company there, surrounded by him and Precious Achiuwa. So it's Luka at 39.1. Just ball hogging. Not passing the ball, not sharing the ball.
What do you expect him to do?
Pass the ball, share the ball.
I didn't bring this up either, but like you did watch the Mavs series, right?
Yes.
You did notice like every time he passed the ball, it's like Dorian Finney-Smith, Porzingis, all those guys. It's like they didn't know what the hell to do with it.
Dorian Finney-Smith's a pretty
good player. He's a spot-up shooter, though. He can't create his own shot.
Well, I know,
that's the whole point. Like none of those guys can create offense.
You catch and shoot.
I don't want to do this again, man.
I don't either.
You know, I already have a headache. You're giving me a headache right now.
You wanted the stats. I gave you the stats.
Can we talk about Jokic and how sorry he is?
Let's talk about Jokic.
Like, what the hell was that, man? Like, again, I get it. Jamal Murray's out. That's a good excuse. He's a good player. Could really change up the series. But at the same time, like, the dude's body language is so bad, man. Like, he hasn't – I get he's a funny guy, and, like, people think he's all, you know, oh, he does the, you know, funny jokes, blah, 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 has a good time, and he seems like a likable guy. But leadership-wise, I don't see it, man. I don't see it at all. I don't think he could carry a team. I really don't.
You don't think Jokic can carry a team?
No.
To what?
To a championship, or at least to
– they went to the conference
finals
last year.
To a finals. Yeah, and fell short. Got pretty much, swept by the Lakers. Won one game,
pretty
I believe.
Pretty good Lakers team.
Same team that just got beat, but yeah.
No, it wasn't. Anthony Davis was.
Were we not calling
Anthony Davis was not playing, and
we're not calling that bubble run a little, you know, overrated, a little overhyped for the Lakers.
I mean, I'm not.
Have you not said that before? Bubble frauds.
I said people have asked. I mean, that's been a discussion. I'm saying I'm not calling it that. I mean, I think this Lakers team again was like 22-6 before the injuries this year. I thought they were pretty good. But the difference, again, I'm not going to criticize Jokic for going to the conference finals and losing to a Lakers team.
And that's fine. And Rome was impressive last year. But at the same time, like.
And I think Jokic just carried a team, you know, past Portland. And
Portland's terrible. We've said that. Their roster's terrible.
I mean, if you look at this Nuggets team, when Jamal Murray's out, like, this team ain't great either. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, when three of your five starters are Campazzo and Austin Rivers and, you know, Aaron Gordon's good. I don't think Michael Porter.
No, he's not. No, I mean, Aaron Gordon plays good defense.
He saw it. He's a third or fourth option. Like he's not. Yeah, he's not great. I think he's a good basketball player, but no, he's not great or a good offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I really don't think Michael Porter Jr. is healthy. I think if you just watch the first quarter versus how he looked afterwards.
Whatever. Whatever. I don't think he's healthy. He can't, just because he can't make a shot. Is like, it a, whatever.
Is it a, you know, a hard take to talk about his like not being healthy and him not moving around? Like, we're not that far removed from like his back being like barely held together and people not thinking he was ever going to play, right? Like,
I just don't understand how we're going to make that excuse for some players and some not. Like we say, if you're out on the court, you've said this before. If you're out on the court and you're going to play, don't make excuses. Don't say you're hurt. Don't say you're banged up. Don't say you're battling injuries.
He hasn't said anything like that.
But I'm just saying, well, we making excuses for a guy that shot 3 for 13 and couldn't make a wide open three. Like, that's no, it's not injuries. He's getting wide open looks. He's just not making them, man.
So you don't believe in injuries? Like, is that what you're saying? You don't believe in people being less than 100%? Like, when Chris Paul's out there and against the Lakers. And
look
not,
at what Chris Paul's doing, man. He's battling a shoulder injury. He can barely shoot a three ball anymore, and he's still out there making plays, doing
Chris
his
Paul
thing.
Is one of the 20 best players of all time. I understand that, but like, I'm saying, when Chris Paul's playing the Lakers and can't dribble with his right hand and make like jump shots, like, you don't look and say this guy is very limited because of injury. Like, that's not a fair like judgment.
Michael
with
Porter,
us watching the
we're
game.
Not making that excuse last series against Portland when he's dropping 20 something points and playing and then he has a bad game. And we're gonna say he's battling a back injury. What
I'm saying, if you watch last game in the first half, especially the first quarter, he's flying around, he's making plays. If you watch him in the third quarter, he has that kind of walk going when someone's back's tightening up, where he's not really like running, he's walking. And you had Mike Malone say it after the game, like, he doesn't look right out there. Now they have to play him, and he's healthy enough to play. Yeah. So again, if you're Michael Porter Jr., you can't come out and be like, I'm banged up, I'm hurt, because that's we'll put you down as an athlete for that and saying, well, you're out there, you got to play. Much like you said, availability, go out there. Everyone's banged up, it's the playoffs. But I do think, like, for us to watch games and to us talk about them, like, we have to kind of give the full picture. And I don't think Michael Porter Jr. looks right. Like, I think if you watch the Portland series, he was getting to the rim, dunking. And I understand their defense is bad. And, like, Phoenix has a top, you know, 5 or 6 defense all year. But if you're Porter, and you, what was his numbers last night?
Like, 13.
But, like, of his 13 shots, how many of them are threes?
9.
Like,
he's 2 for 9, yeah.
So, like, he shot a 2-pointer 4 times? Like,
that's kind of what he does, though, right? I mean, he's literally just a kind of a catch and shoot, come off screens and shoot. Like,
not
necessarily. Like, the guy doesn't go to the rim very often, anyways.
Not necessarily. He's a guy that gets to the rim. He's a guy that can shoot mid-range jumpers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a three-level scorer. I think that's disingenuous. He can shoot. You are right. Like, he does shoot threes. I'm not saying that like he's only doing that, or that he's only doing that now because of the back. I'm not saying that he shoots threes, but he's a guy that can score at all levels. Mm-hmm. I mean, against Portland, for example, like, I mean, game 6, 19 field goal attempts, 12 from 3. So there's 7 two-point shots. In game 5, 13 field goal attempts, 5 threes. 13 field goal attempts, 6, 11, 5. So, I mean, like, his ratio is a little bit higher. In game 1, 21 shots, 10 of them from 3. Like, he shoots threes, but he's also got, likes to get to the rim and shoot mid-range jumpers. And I just don't think he looks right. I don't know, like, why we're making this about Jokic, though, not being able to lead a team. Like, what was it about Jokic that, like,
it's,
stood out to you?
Like,
that
it's literally,
you...
it's the same thing, like, as, like, LeBron, right?
Okay.
LeBron, if LeBron's, like, we criticize him, and we should have. I think it was completely fair, but we criticize him. He's walking down the court. He's complaining to the ref. He's not even getting back on defense. Jokic was literally doing the same exact thing last night. He was literally doing the same thing. He was complaining to the ref at one point and didn't get back at defense at all. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it led to a DeAndre Ayton just catch under the bucket and got a pretty much an easy dunk, easy layup, like, That's I have issues with that. And he's constantly he was doing it in the Trailblazer series, and it was okay because they were winning. They were finding ways to win. But when you're losing and you're getting beat and you're getting just absolutely dominated by runs by Phoenix, like, get back on defense, man. Like, show some leadership. Like, I don't expect him to be giving an all-time speech, but at least, like, talk your guys up a little bit. He's just on the sideline kind of with his head down. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but that was literally my impression, was like, wow. Jokic just looks kind of out of it, man. He looks like he's clocked out. He looks like he was done when they're down like 12, 13 points in the third quarter, when it's still like at least a reasonable game. It just felt like he was over it. He was done. That's how I saw it. And I think if we're going to criticize LeBron for doing that, we should also criticize Jokic, who just won an MVP. You're an MVP, bro. You got to be on a different pedestal now. You do. Sorry. You're a star player. You're one of the best big men in the league. Act like it. Don't be complaining about fouls all the time. Get back on defense.
Everyone
try to motivate
about,
your team a little bit. Quit
about
telling them to quit shooting jump shots and cut to the rim every now and then. Do something different. Like, it's just, I was really disappointed with him, man, honestly.
So it's strictly like the body language that's got you disappointed? It's like his body language makes you think he can't
also,
lead a team? Or
also, just, you know, not a good defender. whatsoever. Like, not even close. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, and I mean, they're pretty much owning the paint on this Nuggets team right now. And I'm not trying to take away from Jokic. I think he's still great, but you got to have a little motivation, man. You got to act like it. Like, he, again, third quarter, it felt like he was clocked out. And we know this Nuggets team could get hot and go on runs. They got good shooters, man.
I mean, I don't think they can really, like, do that against a good team, I think.
Yeah.
I don't want to make – I'm not making excuses for his body language because, I mean, like, you're right, but I think all-stars do that. And I think a lot of the things you said about Jokic, you could turn around and easily say about Luka, who you love and never criticize. Like, I think, like, it goes – this happens with a lot of stars, the arguing and the defense and the bad body language. That stuff happens. I also will think, like, this Nuggets team probably knows they're completely outmatched. Like, this Nuggets team is going to be lucky to get to five games.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a little bit like the Clippers conversation from yesterday. Although, you know, again, you can make the case that Kawhi could still carry them and that the series can still go on. And you could actually, you know, again, make the case here, Jokic is the best player in the series. But, like, you're going to get down pretty far on, like, who else you're going to take in this series. Maybe Michael Porter Jr., but again, I think he's limping around and not playing well the last six quarters of basketball.
He also doesn't play a lick of defense.
Sure.
Not even a lick,
sure,
man.
And that's fine. I'm not going to argue that. He's a bad defender. But, like, this team, if you just go down top to bottom, I mean, like, again, they're starting Campazzo and Rivers. Like, Aaron Gordon can't get you a bucket unless he gets matched on Devin Booker. Like, that's the only time he can score is if they get a switch and he can take Devin Booker into the paint. If you're Jokic, you're probably like, man, what are we doing here? Like, we can't beat this team without Jamal Murray. Like, we probably wouldn't beat him with Jamal Murray, but, like,
I think depth-wise, these two teams are not that far off, man. I really
depth-wise,
don't.
Depth-wise?
I mean, starting lineup, yeah. Like, yeah. The Suns starting pretty, five for the Suns is a lot better, but coming off the bench, just role players
I think
wise,
the Suns did a better job of getting players that fit their system and just, like, fit in that team mold.
Like, or they can play, like, two levels of basketball, like, or, you know, both sides of the court. Like, I think, again, just in the starting lineup, man, like, I don't think there's any competition. Like, I think, especially if Michael Porter Jr. is banged up, like, I'd take five Suns before I took the second Nugget, right?
Yeah.
Now, if Porter's got it going and Porter's hot, like, sure, but, like, I mean, Jay Crowder's proven time and time again, like, he's going to play well in the playoffs. And he got off to a really bad shooting start at the beginning of the playoffs, but he's been pretty red hot since then. Miles Bridges is in line for Miles is in Charlotte. Mikal Bridges is in line for a big payday this offseason. Like, he is one of the – he's kind of proven himself to be one of the better two-way players in the league in terms of defense and then being able to get buckets and hit threes. And I know last night he shot 2 of 8, but I thought he played pretty well in game one. Ayton has taken a leap, and then I don't need to say anything about Paul and Booker. You know about them. Like, am I wrong in saying all five of those guys fit better and play better than, you know, the second guy on the Nugget right now? The second Nugget right now.
But again, we're not like, was anybody talking about Mikal Bridges like last year? Was anybody talking about him?
Well, last year, probably not.
No.
Well, they were in the bubble. They were in the bubble when the Suns started playing well.
I'm just saying,
like,
nobody was caring about Mikal Bridges. Like, nobody was caring about Torrey Craig. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. But, like, he's not getting, like, any attention. Like, this is the most attention he's gotten. And it's because he's getting elevated by other players. Like, he's getting elevated by Chris Paul. Like, again, Jokic, like, good job being Portland, but.
I mean, again, I don't want to go back and revisit a conversation about elevating players, but, like, I've told you that the great guards elevate players. Like, Mikal Bridges was Dorie Finney-Smith before Chris Paul got there. Like, that's kind of my point of you get Chris Paul there and all of a sudden things look a lot better. And I'm giving Chris Paul credit. Like, I love Chris Paul. No,
I mean,
look at the
stats from last night. 15 assists, no turnovers.
I do think, Lord, like, Mikal Bridges, you're underrating him a little bit. Because last year he did shoot 36% from three. Now, it was a limited action. Like, he has taken a leap and he's 24 years old. But, like, I give Phoenix's organization credit for going to get him. They traded for him on draft night. They gave up extra picks to get him from Philadelphia. And they have watched him grow into, again, you know, the first 2 years – you know, a steady progression. And then now in year three has taken a leap to, you know, being, again, a guy that you look at and say, he can play crunch time on a championship team. Like, right now the Suns look like they might win the West. I mean, I don't know if they can beat – I don't know if they can beat the Nets, but I think that series is going to be fun if they play. Yeah. But, like, this Phoenix team is very legit, and Mikal Bridges looks every bit like he belongs as a, you know, third or fourth guy out there.
You keep bashing on Luka, right? You say, we praise him in the wins. We down him in the – or we don't down him in the losses. It's everybody around him. Why aren't we doing the same thing with Jokic, John? I'm curious. Like, why we would not do the same thing with Jokic? We praise him. We praised him all first round. How great he was against the Trailblazers.
A couple of reasons here. I would say Jokic has won playoff series before. Jokic went to the Western Conference Finals last year, and every now and then you're going to run into a team that's just better than you. Like, have you seen anything so far in this series that makes you think the Nuggets are better than the Suns? Because I haven't.
No.
Whereas the last 2 years, not so much last year, to be honest. I didn't really criticize Luka last year for losing that Clippers team. But this year, they're up 2-0 going home. Like, they looked like they were the better team. Like, they had that team. You know, there was blood in the water, right? I mean, 2-0 going home, like, you would admit, like, the first two games, they looked
they're
better than them.
Supposed to win that.
The first 2 years, the first two games, they looked clearly better than them. I don't think this Nuggets team, it looks anywhere comparable to the Suns team, is how I feel. Like, I think the Suns are a top six defense and a efficient top five offense who is led by, you know, one of the best players in the league, especially one of the best postseason players in the league. Cam, you gave that stat about Chris Paul and his assists. You know, last night, 17 points, 15 turnovers, or 15 assists, zero turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Is his third 15-15-0 game in his playoff career. So his third time going 15-15-0. Since 1984, so that's what, 37 years ago, every other NBA player has combined for two.
Yep.
And he has three of them himself.
Yeah, and he obviously has the last three. He last did in 2014 and in 2008. But, yeah, that's just an unreal stat. That's efficiency at its finest. Yeah.
The point guard. So, again, you look at Bridges, you look at Jay Crowder. Like, I do think those guys are getting elevated by the Suns. I do think that's a part of Chris Paul's greatness. I think you saw it last year in Oklahoma City. That's what I talk about when I say great people, you know, great players elevate. The truly great players elevate their teammates around them. You don't make excuses for the roster being bad. Again, Chris Paul did it last year in Oklahoma City. Now you do max out from time to time. Like, they couldn't win that series last year, although I didn't think they had any business being in it. And then the Suns team, you add Jay Crowder and Chris Paul, but outside of that, is it not pretty much the same team as last year?
Yeah.
It's the same guys, right, besides those two? Yeah. Now, I will say those are two big pieces, and who knows what the Suns would have done this year without Chris Paul, because they did go, 8-0 in the bubble, and you thought, okay, you see some pieces here, and, you know, maybe they would have been maybe on the Grizzlies level without Chris Paul.
Yeah. I think that leadership of Chris Paul, too, like, even outside of just, like, his play, like, I think he's known, obviously, as a guy that can get that locker room right, and I think that was actually huge
for
him.
For sure.
That kind of goes back to Jokic a little bit, too. That's kind of my point, man. Like, I just think, I just don't know if Jokic has that same, and again, maybe it's hard to compare him to Chris Paul, who's, like you said, a great, but still, don't you,
I think
you see a little bit more, like, leadership.
I think this Nuggets team had no business being a three seed, especially after Jamal Murray got hurt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even with Jamal Murray, though, like, where would this team be, you think?
Well, I mean, before he got hurt
in the games.
Yeah, I mean, before they got hurt, they were the three or four seed. But, like, Jokic kept them afloat, and they didn't really, like, fall off their pace without Murray. So, I disagree. Yeah. I do think Jokic can elevate and make guys better. I just think right now, like I said, I think this is a situation where five of the six or seven best players in this series play on one team. But also think the Nuggets could go home and maybe get a game and feel better. I don't know. If I am Michael Malone, I'm getting Campazzo and Rivers out of the starting lineup, and I'm probably putting Barton and
Barton, that was his first game back, right, since injury?
Yep, and he was decent last night. He at least gave you some offense.
Shots, yeah,
he hit a couple shots, played 16 minutes. So if he can get back in that starting lineup and, like, get Rivers on the bench or Campazzo on the bench, like, maybe this series looks a little different. They can play with them. But I do agree with Jokic's body language, but I do think that's a problem for a lot of stars.
And when you start getting the accolade, you expect more things to go your way, too. And when you expect that, you're going to complain when it doesn't.
I think it's frustration from, you know, maybe missed calls, but also, like, I would say he's been frustrated because of this in the playoffs. People are guarding him differently. And, like, I don't want to say the book's becoming out on Jokic, but, like, he's having to adapt. A lot like Giannis did after winning a couple MVPs, right? Like, Giannis wins MVP, gets to the postseason, and then all of a sudden there's walls that are waiting for him, and, like, his style of play doesn't work as well, and they lose. Jokic, the last two series, like, Portland's like, hey, we're going to guard you one-on-one, and, you know, you can get your points, but what you really want to do is pass and move the ball. We're not going to let you do that. Like, his assists have kind of gone down in the playoffs, and I would say that's pretty frustrating for him to not get the double teams and get to show, like, his passing ability and not be the guy who gets to create and be a point guard, or point guard, excuse me. Like, they haven't allowed him to really do that outside of a couple instances. Like, they're pretty much guarding him straight up with DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
And the Suns are, you know, I give a lot of credit to Monty Williams. I know he said that this is Chris Paul's team, but Monty Williams has had a really good game plan for Jokic, and I thought they've had a really good game plan offensively. Like some of that spread pick and roll stuff they're doing where they're just like, hey, Chris Paul, you got this side of the court. We're going to bring some motion. Boom, here's a pick and roll. Or here, now it's Devin Booker's turn. Like you just got the, you know, the Nuggets scrambling and
they really though.
Right.
Just wide open three after wide open three.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
They don't really have any plus defenders on their team except Gordon. I mean, especially like in their starting lineup. I mean, they don't have anybody that can do it. You said Jokic is a bad defender. I don't disagree. I think he's fine at best. Like, I mean, he's average at best. Porter Jr. is a turnstile. Rivers is a 10-day contract guy. And like I said, outside of Gordon, no one on the bench could come in and do any better. So I think they're just outmatched. The Suns team was legitimately great this year, and I think that they are, you know, proving that right now. The Nuggets beat the Blazers, but I think we see it a lot. Like it's kind of like in the NFL, you know, sometimes that wild card weekend team will win, and then they play the higher seeds at home, and then every now and then you get there and you lose by like 17. You're like, okay, yeah, this is why this team was so much better in the regular season.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're seeing right here in this series. And then kind of in the I don't want to say it's going to be the same level in the Utah Clippers series because that could definitely change, but this is kind of how it feels. Kind of what people expect in the Sixers Hawks too as well. Like, I mean, that's kind of the same line of thinking, although, you know, they've kept it a little bit closer.
Yep.
So you're like, if Jokic loses this series, like it diminishes the MVP to you, or if he just like loses
no,
the way
man,
he's losing
I don't
by
expect
whining,
him to win this series. Yeah, just expect him to behave like an MVP, man. Like you're not gonna get calls going your way the whole time. Don't act all frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to see him play a little bit better. I mean, I feel like he's kind of struggled a little bit in this series,
even though
the Suns do have a good game plan. I think you're right, but still, he's also not hitting outside shots very well. Like, he was, what, 1-for-3 from three this past
game?
Yeah,
I thought game one, though, he shot pretty well, didn't he? Did he not hit 3 or 4 threes in game one, I thought? Which, I mean, it doesn't really matter. He still only scored 22 points and got matched by Ayton, but I feel like...
Yeah, that's another thing, though. He has to win that battle. Like, he can't let Ayton bully him, you know?
I thought the comments were interesting in game one. They said that, you know, Jokic had said that Ayton guards him better than anybody in the West, said, like, you know, he's a good defender, which I don't know if you're just saying that, if you believe it or what, because I feel like there are similar comments about Nurkic and Nurkic couldn't guard him. But Ayton, I mean, Ayton's taking a leap right now. Like, that's your three, and for as much credit as we gave Trae Young and, you know, Luka and Devin Booker, like, Ayton was the number one pick. Like, Ayton should be doing this.
Yeah.
But again, like I think that's connected to Chris Paul, who, again, I say kind of gets this reputation for being a choker. But, man, when I tell you he's got good, those 15 points, 15 assists games with no turnovers, I don't know how you call him a choker. They look like they're the best team in the West right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like they're going to have some extra rest coming their way, too. Chris Paul's shoulder should be good after they win this series in 5 games.
Yep. Oh, for sure.
Think they should be the favorite in the West, or do you still like the Jazz?
Well, I would think so right now, especially just because, I mean, you know, they're up 2-0. And I do think this Nuggets team is much less equipped to give them a series than the Clippers are, obviously, with the Jazz. So, like, yeah, I mean, I think they should be the favorite right now. Not to win the title. That should be Brooklyn. But to win the West, yeah. And if you're Chris Paul, I guess really all you got to do is get to the finals, in my opinion. Like, getting to the finals would take, you know, a big asterisk off your career.
Yeah, I hope he gets there. I hope he gets there.
If you're Phoenix, though, you might feel like you can beat the Nets. I mean, like, if you're the Suns right now, you think you can win the title. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cam promised some breaking college football news. Cam, do you still have the breaking college football news for the people?
I do.
Give the people the breaking college football news.
According to Pat Ford and Ross Dellinger, the College Football Playoff Management Committee is expected to have some news released this afternoon based on a recommendation for an expanded playoff.
Okay, so we knew that yesterday, right? The 12 teams, kind of where they were leaning.
That is going to be the recommendation, according to Dellinger.
Okay, so now we have some details surrounding the 12 team.
Yes.
The 12 teams that will be, I guess, in the playoffs each year if it were to happen.
This is how, where it gets fun. Well, the top four highest seeds would get a bye. But basically the most important thing I think is they're doing the 6 highest ranked conference champions and then 6 at large. And so basically if you apply that to last year.
So top 6 conference highest ranked conference champions. So
yep.
Not the power 5 plus 1. It's just the 6 highest rated conference champions.
Highest, which basically means last year, about the end of the year, Coastal Carolina was ranked ahead of Pac-12 champion Oregon,
as was obviously American Athletic Conference champion Cincinnati.
Yep.
So you'd have had basically four of the Power Fives get in, and then Coastal and Cincinnati would have gotten automatically qualified in.
Yep.
So stupid, man. It is so stupid. What are we doing? Like, quit trying to make
the
this
matchup would have
basketball.
Been Cincinnati, Georgia. We saw that in the bowl game.
That's pretty good.
you're acting like that's just like
yeah,
not
and then
playable.
Cincinnati would have got killed by Alabama. Like, that's what we really want to see. We really want to see the final the final two, four games. Like, the final four teams be Cincinnati versus Alabama.
Well, what are you going to get anyways? Alabama winning regardless?
Yeah, I mean,
like, what's the difference?
At least
what's
maybe
the difference?
A little competition with somebody. Like, I don't want to see Cincinnati playing them. Quit this, man. We're trying to make this college basketball. We want to find a Cinderella. We want to find somebody to get behind. That's all this is. It's not basketball, man. It's not. Like, let's quit trying to put these non-power fives in the damn playoffs. Why? They're not good. They're not as good as these other teams. You think Georgia really
don't know
that
till they hit the
field?
You don't know that till they hit the field.
I mean, I thought Cincinnati was everybody as good as Georgia last year.
They played with them in a bowl game. Like, we saw the matchup.
I don't remember if Georgia, I mean, opt-outs Georgia had or whatever. But
Jamie Newman.
I don't mean before the season. I mean just before the game. I don't know what they had. But, like, the fact that you're saying, like, Alabama would have killed them, like, we should cancel the season. Alabama killed everybody. Didn't they kill Ohio State?
It's irrelevant. I want to see some more people get in there. And the fun thing about this, too, so basically.
Well, hold on. Before you go there, Cam, I would just say, like, to me, the question would be, like, would Cincinnati have gotten killed by Oregon? Because I don't think so. I think Oregon would have gotten demolished by Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati.
Now, maybe Coastal versus Oregon would be a different story, but, like, I think Cincinnati would have beat Oregon. Do you disagree? Like, I thought Cincinnati was a pretty legitimate
team. Cool, yeah. We're just still prolonging the inevitable, man. Like, we're just making this playoff longer just to literally get to the end of the same team doing that.
Yeah,
like, we talked about this. This is not going to do anything. This is not going to fix anything.
Well, I just think
you could get behind
cancel.
A non-power five of Coastal.
Cancel college football if you're worried about
that. Yeah, like, you just don't play a championship.
I think the hope is that if 12 teams can say they're vying for the playoff, that maybe that will lead to some of the guys who want to win a championship or go to the playoff, maybe going to other schools, right? Because, like I say, it's going to be the top six highest ranked conference champions and six at large. So that's going to give an extra eight teams basically a chance. I mean, I guess it is exactly eight teams a chance to get in. So maybe if you're looking at Texas or looking at, I don't know.
I feel like it makes it be like if you're looking at Alabama and you're like, okay, I could be the fourth string running back at Alabama as a freshman five-star, or I could go to like a Texas or an Oklahoma and play right away.
I don't know if Texas, the same shot. Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if Texas and Oklahoma are the right examples to use because both those teams still recruit well and are still like powers. But like, I don't know. I think the idea is that it'll spread some wealth and then you won't get – here 5 years from now of 14 playoffs and still have, you know, basically Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State being in all three. Like, being that, because what was the breakdown? And was it like 80% of the playoff spots have been filled by like four teams or five teams?
Yeah. Yes, Do you expect that to change, though?
No, those teams will still keep making the playoffs, but like at least now you'll have, well, Oregon
but
can
I'm
say
saying
we made
even
four
like,
playoffs, and Oregon feels like they're getting represented. Oregon feels like maybe we have a chance to recruit because, hey, look, we got a playoff streak going ourselves. We've been a top 12 team, and it's something to celebrate. Yep. And, Draven, I would say it's also probably in response to Florida being a top 12 team last year and like two of the best players in college football being like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to play in this. I guess Kyle Pitts played, Kyle Trask played, but Pitts and
Tony
was like, nah, I'm good. Tony. Yeah. I would say that's a part of college ball's thing, too, is like we need more important games that are important that quote-unquote matter. Because, again, we're talking about the Sugar Bowl between Cincinnati and Georgia, and I'm not confident that Georgia had their best team out there. I would say that most players look kind of like, nah, we got an NFL future, no thanks. So college football probably wants more games that just matter.
Yeah. And so another fun part about this is basically the 1 through 4 gets byes, like I mentioned, but 5 through 8 will host 9 through 12 on campus for the first round.
Only if they're champions, though. Only if they're conference champions, right?
Oh, I think just 5 through 8 gets to host 9 through 12 is what I saw on Sunday.
Oh, okay, so to be in the top four, you have to be a conference champion.
Yes, yes.
So to get a bye, it's the four highest ranked champs. So theoretically, like Alabama can't be the four seed while losing the SEC championship to Georgia and then still get a bye. So then in that situation, they'd be ranked as the – that make them the fifth seed,
I think
guess?
I think it would make them fifth.
Okay.
So basically, how it would have broke down last year, if we would have taken it, it would have been Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame would have had byes. I guess they're.
Why would Notre Dame have gotten about? They weren't a conference champion.
That's what I was kind of trying to wondering there. I'm not sure how they do that.
I don't think in that situation, unless the Ross Dellinger's tweet is wrong,
Yeah.
Notre Dame would not have gotten a bye. They would have been the 5 seed, and it would have been Cincinnati, I guess.
Cincinnati or Oklahoma. Was Oklahoma ranked higher?
Oh, yeah. I would assume Oklahoma's ranked higher. Yeah,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you may have – this is just like a page was kind of putting together what would have happened last year. So maybe switch Notre Dame and Oklahoma.
Okay.
But you had Texas A&M hosting Coastal Carolina in College Station.
Okay.
They had Oklahoma hosting Indiana, but I guess you could do Notre Dame hosting Indiana there. Mm-hmm. And then they had Florida hosting Iowa State and Cincinnati hosting Georgia. And that's kind of how that would have played out last year.
I mean, the only game that really would have caught my attention in that one's probably Cincinnati-Georgia. But again, yeah. If Georgia was full strength, although they'd be having to go to Cincinnati in that scenario, mm-hmm. It's like maybe that would be interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not telling me nothing. I don't know. Like, I think college football sucks. Like, I have zero interest in college football this year. I'm saying people that like college football are going to enjoy this because it's just mm-hmm. more games. And, like, yeah. I think it would be cool to have, if Tennessee was ever in the situation to host a playoff game, I think that would be really cool for the city. Like, you've seen the demand here for, like, a baseball super regional. Like, I think, like, it sucks for us because we know we're just so far away from being included in this at all. But, like,
yep.
2016, like, you lose to Alabama, you lose to A&M. If you still thought you had playoff chances, would you have, like, had your season fall apart the same way? Would you have lost to South Carolina if you're like, okay, we're still going to be a top 12 team and have a chance to win a championship? Maybe that's the case. It's like, hey, this will keep mm-hmm. people invested longer, and like you don't feel like your season's over once you get that second loss or whatever.
And obviously money is a factor, as always with stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure. But like the prospect of getting to host a home playoff game would be really
be
cool
fun,
and get people excited. Yeah. That would be a big atmosphere. So I think this is overall better for the sport. But again, is it going to change the championship picture? No, probably not. Maybe there's a couple years like – the year Penn State got left out at number 5, mm-hmm. maybe they would have been good enough to have played. Like, was there a year Alabama got left out last or 2 years ago, like when Mac Jones?
Yeah.
They got left out. Maybe if they're a top 12 seed, that could have changed the championship. Maybe they mm-hmm. could have gotten hot and won. Like, there's a couple of Georgia. Did Georgia get left out a year?
I think they did 1 year.
Didn't Georgia get left out?
Five or six 1 year.
I thought so, too. So maybe they thought they could have played, like, you know, I don't know. It's not going to change the champion, though, most of the time. It's going to be.
But, like, Draymond, like you kind of said, you were talking about it's not basketball. People just kind of want a Cinderella. Yeah, people are going to tune in, and they're going to want and hope these little teams do upset somebody. It's just going to be get them viewers, get people
tuned
in.
It's just
going to
be the bowl games, except we're calling it playoff format. That's what we're getting.
That's what it is.
That's what we're getting. Yeah. We're getting the same bowl matchups.
With home field advantage.
It's the same exact thing. There's no difference, and we're still going to end up with the same 4 teams. That's just like, why not just – I just see no point. I really do. I see no point. We're just literally putting the bowl games and saying they're playoff games.
I think that is the point, though. Like, I think you do see the point. The point is, like, now the Sugar Bowl is protected and people won't sit out, and it'll feel like a big game every year, like a bigger game. Because we've gotten to the point now where we don't really care about even the we've gotten to the point where the playoff has made it, like, do you really care about the non-playoff games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of like the quote-unquote prestigious bowls? Like, the time that the Rose Bowl isn't in the playoff, like, it just loses some of its luster, and people don't care, and people are sitting out. So I do think that's part of the point. And when we're told it's a playoff game, viewership will go up. And
3 or 4 years, it's going to be the same thing. We all got excited about the 4-team playoff game. Oh, it's going to be give a fair opportunity for some of these teams. We're going to actually have some chance for those 3 or 4 teams that are, you know, getting the 3 or 4 seed. And then 3 or 4 years later, we're like, oh, wow, that didn't really do anything for us. We're like, we're sitting here now saying, wow, expand it more. And then what are we going to do after 12 teams? We're going to say, expand it more after that? Like, we're just going to – it's just like a loop, man. We're just running in circles here. There's no point in it. Sorry to burst your guys' bubble, but there's just no point in this. There isn't. We're going to be sitting here saying the same thing in 3 to 4 years. Wow, we expanded the playoffs and it didn't do a one damn thing.
So do you think college football is in a good place right now or a bad place?
I think it's in a bad place. Okay. I don't think it's in a good place.
Okay, so you would rather just keep doing the same thing and have it continue to get worse?
No, I'd rather go back to original bowl games.
No BCS playoff. No playoff
format. No.
How's that fixing? It's going to get Clemson, Alabama every year? Don't you want?
Maybe.
So instead of, like, actually getting to watch Clemson Alabama play, we'll have to what? Like, Alabama will play in the Sugar Bowl against so and so, and Clemson
will
play.
What's the damn difference in throwing in some 4 seed that doesn't belong to be there against Alabama?
But I'm saying, if you're going to, like, the old bowl system, like, you might not even have, like, number 1 and number 2 play at all. So, like, instead mm-hmm. of actually getting a championship game, which there have been some good championship games, like, Alabama and Clemson have played a couple good ones. There's been a couple of them. Instead of that, we'll just be like, hey, we'll vote on it. I don't think that would fix anything. I mean, I think we all agree that college football is in a bad place right now. So
yep.
I just don't have any issue with them trying to do something that would make more teams and more fan bases feel like they have a chance to win a championship, whether or not they're fooling them or not, because I do think in the grand scheme of things, they are fooling them, and it's going to be the same three teams.
Let's throw 64 in there. Actually, you know what? Even better. Let's throw 68. Let's have a first four in there as well.
Okay.
We're just going to keep going.
The bad thing is I think a lot of college football fans would be fine with that.
That's just, yeah.
And again, I don't agree, but I think college football is stupid and broken and dying.
That's what I just feel like there's no way of fixing it. That's my whole point. It's like, I just think it's like you said, it's just kind of too far gone. Like, we're just going to see the same teams either way. So, what's the point in doing all this to get us all excited for us to be disappointed in 3 or 4 years with it? Like we were with this last playoff format.
So, like, what fixes it? Like, what would show that it's working? Like, do you think in their minds, if like all of a sudden
getting at least in the final four, three new teams, I would say, at least, right? Two or three new teams?
I would say.
Or have one Cinderella team make a run?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they would consider that. Maybe it would just be like the recruiting rankings shifting a little bit and like having other schools feel like they're getting the talent, although who knows? Like, again, I don't know what the answer is. And
I think it's just the fact they want to be able to have other teams say they made the playoffs.
I think that's it, too.
Because it has, like coaches we talked about, it's been the same team.
Coaches are getting fired because they can't make the playoff and they're not winning enough. So that gives them something to say, like, hey, here you go. You made the Sweet 16. Congratulations. Yeah. Hang a banner. Maybe now instead of the championship, the goal is like, hey, if you host a playoff game, that's a successful season for you. Good job. You brought the
You know what that reminds me of, John? That reminds me of like everybody getting a participation trophy. That's exactly what it is. It's basically everybody's
like
mad
because
we have the same people winning.
We know,
and so we got to give everybody a damn trophy. We got to give everybody a banner for making the final four, Elite Eight.
We know how
come on.
We know how the boomers and Gen X are. They love participation trophies. They love
them. Sad.
Gen X and the baby boomers, they created the participation trophy culture, and now like they're taking it to college football. I don't disagree with it, but they love it. Again, Gen X and baby boomers, they love their participation trophies. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.